Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello. Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires? I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing.
Say
tires.
Where do we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Anderson, astronaut, a man barely interesting.
I also went to a school dance with a girl that watched Titanic, I think, 17 times in the theater. It was a different time back then.
Will Darkins, hot air balloon attendant, frightened by technology.
There's HBO hot, where it's like, you watch it and you're like, wow, she's dangerous. I'm into that.
We have the capability to build the 33rd best radio show in Portland. On Saturdays, about sports. The Sinner and the Saint will be that show. Better than they were before. Funnier. Sportsier. More labradoodles. On 1080, The Fan.
Well, we did it. We made it to hour two. If you missed any part of hour one, go to 1080thefan.com. You can download the podcast. Just go to the on-demand button and, you know, click buttons and you'll figure it out. It's brought to you by Les Schwab Tires. It's fantastic.
Do you know how to use the internet?
I have no idea. I think you know this about me.
Yeah, you're like aged 10 years.
What now?
You're aged 10 years than you are now. You're 38, right?
No, I'll be 37 in a couple weeks.
Okay, 37. You are 47 maybe, when it comes to technology.
I don't think that's true. I think 47-year-olds know how to use it. And I'm like 87 when it comes to technology.
Let me ask you something.
And I'm like the grumpy old man that I do it in defiance almost.
Where's your VHS?
What's that?
Where's your VHS?
It's in the guest room.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kind of thought that.
Yeah.
Is the technology in your home comparative to what it would be at a coast home on the Oregon coast?
For sure. Yeah. Where somebody doesn't go, it's got a record player in there and it's got a handful of vinyls from, you know, the 80s.
And the TV is like,
hey, we got off the wall. That Michael Jackson's going to be a star.
What? 2 feet wide TV, 2 foot wide.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. You got it. The old tube technology lasts forever. It's quality.
12 channels.
Quality. Do you know what a snake bite is?
I'm aware.
What now?
I'm aware, yeah.
So what is it?
It's when you get bitten by a snake, right?
Okay. So a snake bite is when you take beer and cider and mix them together, and it makes a delicious drink for you.
Well, now that's intriguing.
Yeah. So we've got a couple people. The Snake Bite Showdown is today over at Widmer, and so we're going to talk about that. We'll do that next. We'll do the ground on the grill. But right now, I wanted to kind of get into the World Cup and a little bit about this U.S. Open.
I kind of wanted to get into the World Cup.
Well, listen, I will be very honest. I'm quite upset that the U.S. is not playing in this thing. It eliminates a whole pile of interest for me. You, on the other hand, I don't think care either way whether the U.S. is in there or not.
Well, no, I don't. And in fact, you came up to me at work. I want to say it might have been Wednesday, and you said something about the World Cup, and I said, to be really frank with you, I didn't know the World Cup was starting until the day of the World Cup.
Yeah.
Like, I had completely forgotten about it. In fact, the only thing that tipped me off was that they said, hey, North America is going to be the host in 2020 or whatever year it is. 2026.
Yeah. Well done. So, yeah, so we'll be the host country then, which means we have an automatic bid. But right now, with no U.S. playing in it, like, who do you root for? I mean, have you been following what's going on? I know that you love Ronaldo.
What? I've never mentioned Ronaldo.
Oh, you talk about him all the time. You've got posters hanging up of him.
He's got a good body. You ever seen that guy? He's ripped.
Yes, I've seen him. It's okay. I mean, it's not like my body.
Your body pales in comparison to Ronaldo.
You just call me pale.
You are pale.
Not compared to you.
Now, how short is Lionel Messi? This is how deep we're going to get into this soccer talk.
55305. I'm curious how many people are upset with the absence of the U.S. in this. Did
no
you
one.
Not watch when they played in the last however many World Cups? You
I don't know. I didn't care enough. There's something about soccer that doesn't really, the nationalistic side of me doesn't come out. You know, once every however many years this thing happens, what is it? Four, eight years. Is it six?
Wow.
Two, right?
You knew we were going to talk about the World Cup. I did.
And that's
prep
how much I
that.
Didn't care about the World Cup. I just don't. There's nothing about it that's appealing to me to root for my country in a sport where I already know we're going to lose. Like, we didn't have a fighting chance the other time either.
The other time? You mean all the other times?
Yeah, whatever.
Not the second World Cup. You know that, right?
The only thing that ever got me pumped about the World Cup was when Iceland was in it, and they had that announcer.
They're still
who
in
was
it.
Just, no, I mean that other year where they had that announcer that was all helter-skelter.
Just absolutely losing his mind, screaming bloody murder.
Let's see if I can find that guy.
Okay.
That's the one thing that gets me excited. Iceland announcer. Yeah, here he is. Hold on. This is the best part of the World Cup to me. Throw Dennis Rodman in there and I'll watch.
If you had that guy and Dennis Rodman doing color commentary, you're in.
Yeah, probably.
No.
Oh, God, yes.
All right.
They're both drunk, guaranteed. Right?
Suppose that's probably fair. So you're 100% on the World Cup. You hate golf.
I'm okay with golf.
You're okay with golf now?
All right, with golf.
Do you think it's a bigger hit for the U.S. to be out of the World Cup or Tiger to already be eliminated from the U.S. Open?
I think that's a really difficult question because it's kind of, you just say, I guess, the U.S. Because you almost expected that Tiger would be out of the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
I mean, the weather conditions made it so ridiculous that...
With the wind, Bryson DeChambeau goes, this is clown golf, as he hits a shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it made them look like regular people, which was the funny part. And now you're in a situation where Dustin Johnson, there's no way he's going to lose. I mean, mathematically, I guess he could lose, but it would be pretty unlikely considering he's one of the better players in the world. And
well,
so,
he's a favorite.
Yeah. I mean, he has a...
And the number one.
He's the only person in red right now.
That's
ridiculous.
Well, he's the number one player in the world. He's a favorite coming in. Yeah. He won last week. This will be the first time, if he does win, that a golfer has won in back-to-back weeks going into the U.S. Open.
So do you think that this excitement over Tiger Woods, where before every single major, everybody builds up the idea that this could be the one that he wins to get his career back on track. When do you give me an over under a years that will just stop, where we can just say, okay, I don't really care that we're going into the Masters and that Tiger has a quote-unquote chance. Like, it's just not going to happen. And it doesn't intrigue me.
How old is he, 44?
It's 44.
44. Phil's what, like 48, 47, 48?
Older, yeah.
You still have it for Phil. There's enough people that like Phil Mickelson that kind of do the same thing. And because Phil's never won a U.S. Open.
Yeah.
He's been close, and he's won all of the other majors, so that would be his career Grand Slam. So I think people still get excited about that. I think as long as Tiger is entering tournaments, people will always want to see some of that magic. Because the thing about sports is even though these guys are always getting older, and Tiger's not the same player he was.
No.
There's so much nostalgia built in when you can see these guys relive it, even if it's just for a moment to go out and watch somebody do it one more time. There's always that intrigue. And you get Kobe Bryant's last game. The Lakers weren't playing for anything, but when he put up 60 points, people lost their mind because it reminded them of a time, especially in Los Angeles, when he was winning 5 championships. And you got to see Kobe one more time be Kobe. And I think that is what people are hoping for with Tiger. If he can go out there and be
Kobe. They just want to see one more Tiger.
One more. Yeah. And I don't know that, and at least for me, it's not – I don't expect Tiger to come back and go on a run where he wins 10 tournaments or 10 major tournaments in, you know, a 5-year period or whatever it is. It's I just want to see him get there one more time, and you want to almost see the passing of the torch, because Tiger disappeared, and in that vacuum it was filled with all of these great young players, the Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas this year, Dustin Johnson,
Rory McIlroy.
All these guys came in, but they never played Tiger head to head. I mean, we're talking about it, you know, Rocco Mediate was the guy that, you know, he limped to the finish line with. And that was kind of the end of Tiger as we knew him. And he came back and won some tournaments, but he's never really been the same since then. He's never had to go head-to-head against this new young crop of guys. So if he could get in the mix and come down on a Sunday against Rory and Jason Day and Jordan Spieth in the final two pairings and go back and forth, and the ratings you would just see skyrocket.
But you're kind of assuming that he deserves the storybook ending, right? Like, there's only a few professional athletes that have really gotten this storybook ending. John Elway is one that comes to mind pretty quick. Michael Jordan, you could say, you know,
he had the Wizards year. But you can't. He never had he didn't have the storybook ending. He walked away because he's getting paid too much money, and the Bulls are like, we aren't going to pay you anymore. They blew up the team, and the Bulls crashed to the bottom of the league. That was a pretty clunky ending to it.
And then they drafted, not Derrick Rose. White guy with glasses. This should be easy.
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Number 12, something, Heim something.
Heimlich?
No.
What? Who are you talking about? Kurt Heinrich?
Oh, hold on. Yeah, Kurt Heinrich. White guy with glasses.
I don't remember with glasses.
Oh, he totally had glasses.
Kurt Heinrich never had glasses.
I'm going to prove you wrong right now.
All right. Well, you do that.
Hold on. Don't go to break because then we'll forget about it.
No, pull it up.
Heinrich. I'm going to do it. Heinrich.
Oh, boy.
Glasses.
Thank you for mumbling so everybody can hear what you're typing.
Jesus, he has glasses on when he's on the Hawks.
No.
Look at that.
What? Somebody draw him on there?
They didn't draw him on there. I was referencing the Bulls, and we even went as far as the later part of his career. No. With the Hawks. He's the only guy that I know. There he is with the Bulls. He looks pretty good in him. He's the only guy I know that was effective playing in glasses other than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
What about Kurt Rambis?
No one cares about Kurt Rambis.
Everybody cares about Kurt Rambis. Part of championship teams.
I think you're going to find more Kirk Heinrich fans than Kurt Rambis fans.
All right. Okay. Let's move on from this. Snakebite Showdown is this afternoon. We'll talk with a couple of the collaborators in this kind of fun event. And we'll do that next when we do the Growl and Grill. You're listening to The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan. I'm not sure why I don't remember Kirk Heinrich wearing the glasses. This was a full picture, but he didn't wear the glasses all the time. And I forgot.
He wore them all the time early on.
I know, but I forgot how nerdy he was coming out of Kansas, because I got into a few of the Kansas pictures.
Yeah.
He's just scrawny and nerdy.
Did he and
Nick Collison.
Yeah, they played together, didn't they?
They played together in high school, too, and then they went to Kansas together. And then
that's pretty cool. Yeah. God, those dudes can just go back to Kansas and live it up.
Yeah, I think they live the life there. Speaking of living the life, I need a drink. Let's go to the Growler and the Grill.
Anyone can recommend a fine wine or cocktail to complement your meal.
I'll take a scotch and water, hold the scotch.
Here at The Fan, we believe you're more sophisticated than that.
You hungry? Hey, Ma, can we get some meatloaf?
With a keenly trained palate for the best culinary sports offerings of the day, The Fan presents a truly enlightened sports experience.
What is the soup du jour?
It's the soup of the day.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
This is the Growler and the Grill, a weekly feature on The Sinner and the Saint on 1080.
Polish sausage. Is that okay? I mean,
The Fan.
All right, the second annual Snake Bite Showdown takes place today at 1 p.m., goes until 7. It's at Widmer Brothers Beer Garden up on Russell Street. The event is basically a bunch of regional cider makers and brewers getting together, and they're making snake bites. So the snake bite is I've got two great guests here. Why should I explain what a snake bite is? We've got Neil Davidson from, Groundbreaker Brewing, and then we've got Jana
Daisy Ensign. You got it. You're there.
I even double checked the pronunciation from Finn River Cidery. And you guys are collaborating as part of this. What is a snake bite?
Well, thanks for having us on, first of all.
My pleasure.
So a snake bite has got the traditional blend of cider and beer, and there's a lot of different variations. It could be cider with lager, could be with a darker beer, and we're definitely celebrating the Pacific Northwest variation here. So you've got here in-house local cider from Washington State and then a local beer here from Portland, Oregon, and we'll speak to the blend as we go on.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about Finn River Farm and cidery.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for the opportunity. Finn River is located up in Shimicum, Washington. Okay. So we're in the Olympic Peninsula. We're on 80 organic acres there. We do obviously a lot of great orchard work where we're growing apples, which get pressed and turned into cider, but we also are a full working family farm. So we raise chickens and pigs and veggies, which go out to our local markets. We're a certified salmon safe farm. We're a certified organic farm, and we're a B Corporation. And we are so excited to get to share what we make on the farm and bring it out into the world. So that's what we're celebrating today, which is Artisan Craft Cider.
Cool. And Neil, tell me a little bit about Groundbreaker.
No grains. That's kind of the game.
Groundbreaker Brewing.
Grainless.
So Groundbreaker, we opened 6 years ago here in Southeast Portland. We're a bunch of guys that love drinking beer, but our one thing is we're gluten-free.
Okay.
But we still love drinking all our beer and has all the same flavors and all that. We just like to make it gluten-free. So we have a nice little brewery there in Southeast Portland, and we have a little restaurant connected, and it's a great little spot to drink beer and have great food.
One of my favorite things about living in Portland, and really what this segment turned into when we first were like, hey, we're a tailgate show. Let's have, you know, some food and drink and do this. But it really turned into talking with people from Portland about how many cool collaborations that we've done, whether it's, you know, just within the beer industry, distillers, you know, we're seeing a huge growth in the cider industry. We've had people in to talk about mead.
Yeah.
So just the collaboration thing has always been cool. And Widmer's been a great partner for a lot of small brewers to get started doing collaborations. So you two, how do we get paired up for your snake bite?
We've been doing, actually, Jana and I have done events for years now, but we just love the Finn River Cider, and we've done a lot of good stuff with you guys, and it's always been a good relationship.
Yeah, we've enjoyed collaborating in the past, and this is, as you said, the second annual, so really fun. First kind of go at it, see what people thought about bringing together this local artisan craft beer and local artisan craft cider, and when we were queuing up, we thought it would be awesome to work with Groundbreaker and to really do something that's 100% gluten-free. So that's kind of a cool niche in the cider world, and it's really neat to bring that in this beer collaboration, to have a gluten-free beer as well as a gluten-free cider. So people who are looking for a gluten-free offering still all the way through can enjoy this one.
And is cider not naturally gluten-free?
It is naturally gluten-free, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. That's kind of what I thought.
Default.
For anyone just joining the program, we're talking with Jana from Finn River Farm and Cidery, and Neil from Groundbreaker Brewing. So you brought in a couple drinks. We're making snake bites right here.
Yeah,
what are we pouring?
Thanks for bringing in the glasses.
Yeah, of course.
Should we pour?
Yes, please.
Okay. So we got together and we thought, oh, it's going to be real easy to bring together a couple things that we really like. And it was. We did a lot of taste testing, and we decided on a 50-50 blend of what I'm pouring, which is this lavender black currant cider. This is our seasonal botanical cider. So it's organic apples, organic black currants, and then local organic lavender from Port Townsend and from Squim, Washington.
Okay.
And then I'll let Neil speak to the awesome Patty Porter that we're blending it with.
Porter, this is one of our darkest beers we've ever made. Okay. And so it's a classic, you know, porter beer, dark ale. We have a lot of vanilla flavors and, you know, coffee, cocoa nibs, chocolate, and all that. And so we love that they kind of plays well with these flavors. Like a lot of times if a beer is like super bitter or all that, it doesn't play well with other flavors. But this one, it just kind of sits, the lavender and the blackcurrant just really come through.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I can't say that I've ever really had anything like it. I mean, it's a cool combination. How much fun was the taste testing day, though? How many different combinations do we try? Because that's a party I want to get invited to. The festival's going to be fantastic because it's the best of it. But having one, you're like, ooh, that doesn't quite do it. And then hitting the good one, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have 8 beers on tap that we make there at the spot. So, you know, to find the right one, we just like to play around and try everything.
Yeah, it was. We had a good time, needless to say. We all work well together, and we thought this will be a fun little project, and it was. So we landed on 50-50 for the blend. We liked the acid, the tartness of the currant married there with the creamy mouthfeel of the porter.
And there's a little roast on the finish to kind of round all that out.
Yeah, it's fruity, but it has like a really warm finish, which I think is pretty cool. Were you both participants in last year's Snake Bite Showdown?
We were not. We did not have our beer.
We did participate, and we partnered with Hub last year, which was awesome. Hopworks Urban Brewery.
Okay, yeah, excellent. So this is the second annual. So advanced admission is $20. It's $25 at the gate. That includes a commemorative glass, 6 tickets, additional tasting tickets you can get for $2 each. All the snake bite blends will be poured in 4-ounce samples, and you can go online to. That is a long
URL. Yeah, it's on Merck tickets. People search, you know, Snakebite under Merck tickets. It'll pop
And you can also go to PortlandCider.com/events. Yeah. So that's the easier way, I think, to get routed.
You could probably just show up, too, and they'll yeah.
Just search Snakebite Showdown. Yeah.
And can I share that it's people's choice?
That's what I was going to ask. I figured I'd set this up, and then I'd let you tell people what to expect, because I didn't make it last year since we were there.
Yeah, well, it's fun because we're in a new location, so it's a little bit different. I'll be behind my booth from 1 to 4, so come on, stop by, and I'll tell you more about the specifics of our particular blend. But needless to say, everybody's kind of excited and proud of what they've blended together, and so it's a People's Choice Award, so it's fun for people to have an active role in participating. Then come try the different snake bites and vote for their favorite, and there'll be some celebration in terms of, you know, who wins.
Yeah, and you mentioned the new location. Widmer has the great beer garden. They do their Oktoberfest there, and they really do a good job hosting events, so that'll be really fun.
They've been great partners with the cider community, honestly, and it's going to be a fantastic space. We're looking at some sun that's supposed to break through today, so all things look like they're going to be in our favor for an awesome day.
Fantastic. Neil, real quick, tell me a little bit about some of the other beers. The porter, I'm only having it with the lavender and currant cider.
A little bit more.
But I was going to say, I will definitely take a try on that. But how difficult is to do gluten-free beer, and what are the things that you need to kind of think through as you're trying to – you don't want it to taste gluten-free.
Sure. Yeah. Well, when you make beer, you need to make like a sweet – they call it wort, and it's usually made from barley. And since we can't use barley because that has the gluten in it, we found that there's a lot of different other ingredients that kind of match those flavors, but it usually takes more ingredients. So we use chestnuts and lentils, and then we also add some like vanilla and coffee and chocolate to give it those chocolatey, you know, dark flavors. But then we also make, you know, a great IPA. It's our best-selling beer, IPA number 5. It's in a can. And then we have a pale ale. I think pale ale is my favorite beer because it's nuanced and it's like balanced, the hops and the malt flavor. It's all great. Yeah.
And you said your tasting room is over in Southeast Portland?
Southeast Portland. We're on 7th and Lincoln.
So if anybody's got trouble with gluten or just trying to avoid it and take it out of their diet, check out Groundbreaker.
We have a full menu, all sorts of stuff to eat, all sorts of drinks.
Neil makes a fantastic menu, honestly. He's in charge of making things wonderful.
Yeah, I'm the chef over there. So.
the chef as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, fantastic. And Finn River, where can we find your ciders?
We are available locally here in market all throughout the state of Oregon. New Seasons is a great partner for us, Whole Foods. We also really encourage people to come on up to the farm. It's about 3.5 hour drive from Portland. We're open 7 days a week. We have a beautiful tasting room on our orchard floor, so you can come and get your cider and wander through, look at the different apples. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a trip up to the peninsula here coming up in July. Maybe we'll have to make a pit stop.
So definitely worth a stop.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, big thank you to Jana from Finn River Cidery and Farm, and then Neil Davidson from Groundbreaker Brewing. I really appreciate it. Again, today at 1 o'clock over at Widmer on Russell, they've got the whole beer garden set up for the Snake Bite Showdown. Go there, check it out. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, when we come back. What did I want to talk about? Oh, hey, Will.
Yeah.
Guess who threw a football?
Was it me?
No, I'll tell you next. Center and Saint, 1080 The Fan. First, the news. Yes. I started a little drunk. I was still a little drunk from last night when the show started. So this is actually taking the edge off.
What were you doing last night?
Drinking. I had a friend in town from Texas.
Oh,
got to meet his girlfriend.
What part?
Well, he lives in... what is it called?
Texas.
Yeah, Texas. I don't know. Laredo?
Ah.
Yeah. Terrible part of Texas.
Apparently.
Well, he hates it, but he, he fell in love, and now he's got this girl and, you know, the whole thing. So he's going to be stuck there forever.
That's a rough place to fall in
love. He took a
job.
He's the sports guy on the local news channel down in Laredo, Texas.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, he went to Washington State, got his degree, and... he's going to go out and conquer the world.
It's great.
Well, the thing that he ran into, and I don't know if you did this when you went to Mount Hood, but he graduated and he knew how to use all of the brand new modern equipment and knew how to use absolutely everything. And he starts getting interviews and they're like, all right, you know how to do like tape and like cut it together and splice it. And he's like, well, no, we do everything digital. They're like, yeah, we can't afford any of the crap that he had at school. So then, you know, he just was looking for a job and found one down in Laredo, and he's been there, 7 or 8 years.
Dude, that's how it was. Cause I did a couple internships at Coin at Channel 6, and I did a tape where I wanted to be a sports reporter, and I had like a prep tape where it was me doing reports and stuff. And so then I sent it out, and that's kind of the idea of getting a job is you just send it out to a bunch of news directors or people in small markets and see if they interview you, and here we go.
Yep.
The one offer I got was in Nebraska, and I forget what the town's name was. I mean, it was the middle of effing nowhere, and they were the only TV station there, which was pretty cool because you knew if they were going for local news on TV, they were going to see you. You would at least have like 300 eyes on you.
Yeah, all 40 people in the town were watching.
And they had said that they had done the same thing where, you know, I told them all the qualifications I had. And, you know, one of them is, do you know how to edit your own stuff on this software they call Avid? And so if you can do that, you can do it pretty much in any industry. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm really fluent in Avid. And they go, oh, yeah, we don't do Avid. We do iMovie.
Yeah.
iMovie. You remember you and I learned how to edit a video with iMovie for that wine thing?
Yeah.
Yes. It's like little kids editing film. And so, I can feel it, dude. It's rough going into a really small town and trying to be a newscaster.
Well, but he gets to do high school football in Texas, so he's a blast with that. And
that's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. Anyway, so he's in town visiting, so we did a barbecue and just, you know, drank till midnight. And anyways, did you see who threw a football?
Andrew Luck?
Andrew Luck finally threw a football.
I can't believe that.
How? Okay. In the road to
that's
recovery.
That's supposed to be exciting news.
It kind of is.
Quarterback throws football.
In the road to recovery, what ball do you start with? Like, does he start racquetball, then move up to tennis ball, then go to baseball, softball, Nerf ball?
Well, football? That was the story, right? That was part of it, that he was starting to throw a tennis ball, and then he threw some, like, small, like, squishy, politically correct dodgeball.
He goes next to, like, the Kush ball and then, like, grapefruit and moves up to cantaloupe and then gets to NFL
football.
Finally
gets to an NFL football. I never understood why Andrew Luck was good. People could never really convince me why he was good.
He drug a pretty terrible Colts team to an AFC championship game.
I guess.
He did. I mean, it's the AFC, I realize.
I never really understood why Andrew Luck was very good in the first place. And so then when this happened and everybody was like, oh my God, it'll just be huge for them if he can get back and he learns to throw again. It's like, well, he already wasn't very overwhelming. So now I'm not very convinced.
He's a pretty good quarterback.
Is he? I can't remember. When's the last time you actually saw good Andrew Luck? Not struggling with injuries.
2 years ago, they were in the AFC Championship game. That was
2016?
It was the Deflategate, right? Or that would have been 2015.
14.
15. 14?
I think 14. That was Deflategate because then the Pats played Seattle, right?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah. It's been four friggin' years until you've seen good Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's that good anymore, dude. I mean, really, even those years after the whole Deflategate AFC game, he just kind of got crappier. And I totally agree with you. I get it. The rest of the roster sucked too, and that probably degraded whatever quality of play he had. But to me, I don't know if he's really worth the huge paycheck now that he's barely learning how to throw a football again.
It's insane to think that quarterback throws football is a headline.
Yes, that's a slug. Quarterback throws football. People are stunned.
And they're over the moon about it.
Yes.
Yeah, 2014. And then, they went 8-8, back-to-back seasons 15, 16, and then last year didn't play at all, 4-12.
Text line 55305. The Colts were not terrible. Curtis Painter was terrible. That same Colts team under Manning was a 14-win team almost every year.
No, because that was 2011, that team. And what they did was they got Andrew Luck, then they re-signed him and didn't have anybody around him. The teams were good in 2012 and 2013, but by the time they got to 2014, they had Frank Gore as their running back, who was 1,000 years old. And, that was not a great team, and they didn't have much on defense. Andrew Luck was pretty good, but, yeah, you're right. I mean, they had a couple years where he's totally beat up. I guess I don't know if he is good.
Right now,
because we don't know if he's healthy. If he can't throw a football, you know nothing about him. If he has to relearn to throw a football, it's kind of insane.
Well, not only that, just even the years before he had gotten hurt, just X those out because really the Colts sucked. And Andrew Luck wasn't that good because of the Colts sucking. Again, I'm not putting this on his shoulders.
So Peyton Manning's last year was 2010.
Okay.
Curtis Painter's year, they went 2-14. And then the next year, Andrew Luck comes in. They made a wild card playoff game. They were 11-5, 11-5, 11-5 his first 3 years.
Okay, now was that up until 2014?
And that's 2014. Okay, they went 11-5 3 years in a row. Then they went 8-8. Then they went 8-8, 8-8, and the last year without him, 4-12.
Yeah, I don't think he's that great. I just don't. I mean, if you could drag such a crappy team for all those years, why were you so much crappier after that?
And he also played in that division. Remember how good the Texans, Titans, Jaguars were in those years? I mean, that's six of your games right there.
They're kind of good now.
Well, they are now, but yeah, but this is the Jake Locker years.
Yeah.
This is the Blaine Gabbert years.
Are you sure it wasn't David Garrard?
It might have been. Well, but,
I don't know.
But
I'm just throwing the question.
No. I mean, we're looking at a three-year window. Yeah. So yeah, it might have been.
This question should indicate to us how crappy it was.
But remember how bad that division was too. So we talked about that a fair amount, as you know, how he kind of carried a team. On the other side of things, guys that are healthy and playing terribly. I know this is a baseball story, but if you followed Chris Davis at all.
Yes, he's awful. And he's making so much money.
They owe him $23 million. It was announced they're benching him. He's hitting like 120.
Who's the guy from the Mets who's still getting paid?
Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah, Bobby Bonilla.
He's paid $1 million a year. Bobby Bonilla Day is one of my favorite days of the year where he gets his check from the Mets.
It's great. Hell yeah. I don't really crap on players like this who just either all of a sudden start sucking or they're not worth, quote unquote, the money that they're owed. Like Gilbert Arenas, right? He got really huge contract and then he was just paid out for years. Dude, screw you if you think he sucks, or screw you if you think that he doesn't deserve it. Like, he played well enough at a certain point that obviously somebody thought that they were going to pay him, and so now he deserves all the money he gets.
Take the money and run.
Yeah, hey, if they're going to structure a contract for you that is guaranteed and they say yes, like, anybody would say yes to that.
You can't blame somebody for taking the money going, listen, guys, I've got a hunch that in the next couple of years I'm going to be terrible. I can't take your money in good faith. I mean, but yeah, that's the thing. And it's what's the kid's name for Oklahoma? Kyler, the quarterback.
Baker Mayfield. Oh, you mean the one who got drafted by the A's? Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah. But like the decision between baseball and football, and knowing that you get guaranteed contracts versus non-guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
Like, how could you not go with the baseball direction?
I mean, having fun or getting my head beaten constantly until I can't read. I'm going to go have some fun.
Yeah, baseball is like, it's bubble gum and it's hanging out at the park all day. But it's forget that. It's guaranteed contracts. Forget the physical damage part of it. Like, one injury and you're done playing football. And the kid's 5'10", 180 pounds or whatever it is. And it's like, dude, are you kidding me? $23 million is not even playing anymore.
Anybody who has a doubt about should I play football or baseball, and if they do have that talent that's equivalent to professional status, should just look at Alex Rodriguez as a case study.
God, he got paid
easily
so much
look
money.
At Alex Rodriguez.
He got paid so much money.
So much money, and he sucked for now, such a latter part of his career.
Well, but he put up, I mean, the numbers he put up when he was in Texas, and it was
insane.
It was astronomical.
Good. Yeah. And so I guess I would say with the whole guaranteed money thing, it's not really on the player. It's the person that's paying them. If they think that a guaranteed money contract will, I guess, stroke a little bit more of a competitive edge for a player, I mean, that's your thought. If I'm Alex Rodriguez and I'm getting paid that much and I know that it's going to get in my bank account no matter what, yeah, I'm probably not going to practice too hard.
This kind of brings it full circle because we're talking about Kawhi Leonard, who's passing up the opportunity to go at a supermax. Mm-hmm. By leaving San Antonio. It's interesting that the NBA is the one league that seems to be kind of disillusioned with money. The Warriors are all taking less money. The Heat with LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, they all took less money. I mean, it really is more about the public perception of can you win championships in the NBA? And you have these guys that are constantly leaving for less money. They built in a rule going the team that can pay you the most is the team that you're on to kind of dissuade people from leaving in free agency. And again, time after time, we see these guys just going, yeah, I got to get out of here.
Well, with Kawhi Leonard, I think it makes a little bit more sense not to take the Supermax contract. You're 26 years old. You're still in your prime, presumably, barring this injury. And you're probably going to be in your prime for the next 3 or 4 years. So why not go to a team where you could chase another title and then the year after go for a Supermax contract. I don't think he's going to be hindered like, say, Andrew Luck is by this, you know, completely debilitating injury like he was. I think he'll be just as good when he comes back. One of my favorite pictures of Andrew Luck was last year during the offseason when he had started a book club. He started a book club to read to kids in the Indianapolis area. He'd go to schools during the summertime and read to them, start reading groups and everything. And it was a picture of him looking just haggard as hell with a copy of Dune in his right hand, just looking at the camera. And the caption was something like, "Man, my copy of Dune got ripped. I'm so bummed." I was like, dude, this is the low point of your career here, isn't it? Like, your social media feed is you talking about your ripped books.
Sad. You ever have a book where you really liked it and the cover got ripped?
Oh, it's son terrible. Of a gun.
All right, well, how many games will the Colts win next year? Is Andrew Luck going to be your starting quarterback? Maybe we should look into our crystal balls.
Well, also, Andrew Luck.
This is the...
Andrew Luck. This is the true or false?
Transition. We're doing the transition to the next.
True or false? Looks like he has stuff in the corners of his mouth at all times.
Oh, for sure. He looks like one of the cavemen from the Geico commercials. Yes. Yeah. So I was going to do the transition to the whole thing, and then we'll do the balls. I already started it, and then you interrupted it. How many games will the Colts win? Will Andrew Luck be your starting quarterback? Will he play more than 8 games? Crystal balls, next, center slate, I need the fan. Just want to listen to some Marvin Gaye. I come apart. Catch the pictures of Michael Jordan with the creepy smile and the bottle of tequila walking out of the walking around Chicago.
Is that this week?
I don't know. Did you see the pictures?
No.
Oh yeah, take a look at that creepy smile. That will give you the heebies and the jeebies.
Creepier that or Michael Jordan Hitler mustache?
Oh, this is creepier.
Why?
He's like he's walking around like city streets with a half bottle of tequila. See if you can get that smile. You tell me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's bad.
There's no question the Hitler mustache, you lost a bet, right? We know that.
Michael Jordan just looks like he's, like, it looks like he's perpetually in an oven. Like, his eyes keep getting redder and redder as he gets older. Like, it looks like his body is just baking. Like, shriveling.
Cooking from the inside out. Yeah. That sounds
the inside of his body is just an oven just eviscerating whatever flesh he has.
Here's a picture about Michael Jordan. He burst into flames. It's terrible.
One of my favorite recent Michael Jordan moments were when he had that line when he got inducted at North Carolina, something like the ceiling is the roof.
Ceiling is the roof.
Ceiling is the roof.
He's the hype man for the thing.
It's pretty friggin' awesome.
From the text line, 55305, you can't bash on Luck. At least he knows how to read, Will.
I know how to read.
Okay. Old man Hasselback outperformed Andrew Luck, too. We got to remember that.
Yeah. I wish you guys nothing but best. The ceiling is the roof. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. The ceiling is the roof.
Sure is. There's nothing wrong about that statement.
I suppose that's true.
That's completely true. The ceiling is the roof.
All right. What do you want to do? U.S. Open, World Cup, or baseball?
Can we do some college football?
I don't think there's any games this week.
Damn. You sure about that?
I'm pretty positive. Dustin Johnson, does he hold on to win the U.S. Open?
Yes, of course. He's the only player with a freaking... He's the only player in negative. It's ridiculous.
And he's 4 under.
Yes.
That guy's such a freak. He's such a freak athlete and just like going out and just being a golfer. I mean, just... The guy hits the ball 380 yards.
Yeah, he's got some power.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I think is interesting is that you have two guys in Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods who have consistently shown some injury history, right? Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, but not as much for Rory. I mean, Tiger, no question. Rory's had a little bit, but
he's had some. Those two dudes were more intense than anybody on tour about working out.
Yeah, they get yoked and it affects your golf swing.
I kind of think it does.
Yeah, you need to be flexible. You don't need to be strong.
Yeah. Rory McIlroy looks like a friggin' strong safety.
He does, but look at John Daly. That guy kills a golf ball, and he's never worked out in his life.
The only thing that fuels him is rage and liquor.
Nicotine and liquor.
And nicotine, rage. Too. That guy is a just... He is a tremendous chain smoker.
We talked about the nostalgia if you have that one more go-around for a guy. If John Daly was in contention in the U.S. Open, I might be more excited than
Tiger Woods. If today, John Daly just started climbing the leaderboard, just making insane shots. Yeah. Oh, God, no, I wouldn't leave here. I would just be hooked to the TV.
Yeah.
Go, John, go!
John Daly is...
You smoke your way to the top.
He's like David Wells. I mean, it's just there's certain guys you have to root for. You're like, what are you doing as a professional athlete? John Kruk is one of those guys. You see guys in the NFL like that are just farm strong, and they look awful. And
Or Payne Stewart before he died in a plane crash.
Well, the Payne was... He was the knickers and the cap. I don't remember him being...
Made me root for him.
Yeah, but you root for him. But yeah, but like the guy... John, he's not John Daly.
No.
I don't know why I have to bring up dead people. Makes me uncomfortable.
I see them.
All right, now that you're a huge baseball fan.
Yes.
There's two more games this weekend against the Red Sox.
There is. They've split them, right?
They split so far, yeah. They split the first two. So there's a 2-1 victory by the Red Sox on Thursday last night, 7-6 victory for the Mariners. What happens in the next two games?
I actually posted this on our Facebook post
of
where will the Mariners be at the end of the AL West, at the end of the series, where will they be? I'd like to think they'll split the series. It'll be 2-2, but I don't know what's going on with the Astros. Like, who are they playing?
They were beating up the Royals last time I checked.
It makes you think because the Mariners are still, I think, a half game back. And so you'd have to think that the Astros will kind of hold position by the end of this week.
Yeah. After splitting the series with the Astros, I mean, they're so good. I mean,
they're really, really friggin' good. And they're kind of remind me of the Warriors in a sense that, like, they're just picking when they want to be good. Like, we're up against the Kings. Okay, well, let's just turn it on a bit.
Well, but you know what the mark of a good team, though, is you beat the teams you're supposed to beat.
Right.
And that's kind of the big difference between what's going on with right now watching the Mariners. Yeah, it's great to see them in a series with Boston where they're you know, hanging in there and they have a chance to win every game. That's what you want, but they also just swept the Rays, which is great. They just swept the Angels. They just swept the Twins. So that's what you're supposed to do. You go out and you beat the teams that are worse than you. But, yeah, the Astros have – yeah, so they – game one against – oh, Jesus H. The Astros are on a 9-game win streak. So after beating Seattle, they swept Texas. They swept the A's. They already have one against Kansas City. They play Kansas City two more times, then Tampa Bay, then Kansas City again, then a bad Toronto team, then Tampa Bay again. They will not be leading the AL West by the end of June.
Hell?
There's no way. That's the easiest.
What month are they in after that schedule? Are they still in June?
They finish out going into July. They finish out with Tampa Bay. And then they go Rangers, White Sox, A's, Tigers. I mean, it's just...
Wait, that's going after that whole subsect you just...
Dude, there's not a team with a winning record within a month of the Astros. They may not lose another game until July.
It's freaking ridiculous. Who the hell made that schedule?
The Blue Jays have been good the last couple of years. Not this year. Well, the last couple of years.
Blue Jays... I'm sorry. I wanted to talk about the Angels really quick because we were laughing about earlier this week how the Angels have the best player in baseball, one of the best hitters in baseball, and they just find a way to suck.
Yeah. Well, in the Mariners series, he hits back-to-back, or he hits two home run games back-to-back where he hits two home runs in two consecutive games, and they lost both of them.
They just suck.
Yeah.
How the hell do you suck and you have
Mike
the best player?
Trout hitting 630 against the Mariners, and they've lost like 4 out of 6.
All you need is decent pitching to back that up.
Yeah, they don't have it. With Shohei Ohtani out with a possible season ending with that elbow. You never know. All right, well, thank you everybody for joining us on this fine show. I hope you enjoyed it. Stick around. The Les Schwab Tires Bowl will be later today. What, 5 o'clock?
5:30, right? I think.
Right here on The Fan, you're going to want to hear that. Enjoy a wonderful weekend of sports. Go Beavs. Go USA Soccer. Go Dustin Johnson. Go Mariners. All right, everybody. Bye-bye. You see, it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And always look on the bright side of life. Thank you. I'm a genius.
You're drunk.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.